You're listening to Jim, Matt, and Molly.
We don't speak about
her.
We're
rivals.
We are not rivals. Yeah, me and Kay are not on the same level in the same sense that Matt thinks that the Bears and the Packers aren't on the same level.
Presented by Coors Light on 100.5 ESPN and the ESPN Madison YouTube channel.
Love it. You guys know that I just had twins. They're about 4 months old, and I have a toddler, so I need all the energy that I can get. Zoa gives me the perfect boost without the crash that comes with other energy drinks. And the best part about it is that Zoa is packed with natural ingredients like caffeine from green coffee and green tea, fueling both my workouts and my busy workdays. Plus, the flavors are amazing. I think wild orange is now my favorite. And I feel so good about it, knowing that it's all about clean energy. Pick up some Zoa for yourself. You can find them anywhere that you get your groceries. Head over to ZoaEnergy.com to learn more. And now we're delighted to be joined.
Thrilled.
Absolutely.
Thrilled, as Jim Rutledge says. We're delighted to have Jason Wilde join us right here on Jim, Matt, and Molly. We are at the Blind Shot Social. Jason, how has your day been in Madison? It's nice having you in the flesh.
It's been great. I didn't realize how handsome the gold medalist was until I saw him in person again. I don't know the last time I saw you.
What are you wearing
in
on
person.
Your hand?
He's golf wearing his golf
I'm club. Ready to go
was,
hit a couple golf balls.
He was about
balls.
To drive on the simulator, and then we called him back to do the show.
Yeah.
So
I was like, Jason's here. What do they need me for? First of all, I also want to apologize for yesterday. When you said the golf course, or that Mike Murphy bought a golf course, I totally zoned you out. And that was rude.
It's fine.
So I'm sorry.
You don't think Tausch does that?
Well, fair, but Tausch has earned it over the years. I don't feel like I've earned it yet.
He only has one gold
medal. You get a glimpse of, like, we have to – it doesn't matter if we're here at the Everlight Solar Studio, we have to wrangle Matt in.
Yeah.
Like, he just wanders
they
off.
They tried to turn my chair away from the TVs so I couldn't be distracted during the show.
I deal with a guy just like that.
Yeah.
So it's all good.
Yeah.
I don't mind at all.
Okay. Well, I felt bad.
Oh, boy. Jason.
You can ask our poll question?
would you like to say, because you can probably phrase it better. I don't know it off the top of my head.
There's something making the rounds on social media that the Cubs game's a blowout, and there's a couple sitting behind home plate, and in the screenshot from the game, the couple is lady and tramping a hot dog. So the question was, what is the worst food you could think of to lady and the tramp with your significant other?
Well, hot dog would be toward the top of the list. It's got to be something that would require a lengthy process of eating toward it, right?
Yeah. And you know,
so like a churro.
Yep,
that was one of the options.
There's a lot of Twinkie. Yeah,
Molly's
steak. Yuck.
T-bone.
Are you gonna say that I came up with the most answers?
No, I say brat. Saying? You came up with brat.
Brat would be worse than hot dog for sure.
Yeah, the Packers used to have, I don't know if they still have it, I don't obviously sit in the stands, but at one of the concession stands they have what they call the horse collar sausage, which is basically a ring bologna, like a very lengthy piece of meat.
Yeah.
That would, they were really doing that?
Yeah, it's at least in the photo that was taken.
Were they an attractive couple, would you say?
Nah.
Molly saw it. The weirder part, Jason, was that they're closer to our age than, like, Molly's age. Because, again, like, if it was college kids, maybe you just lose your mind a little bit.
Sure.
Have too many Coors Lights.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You feel like at some point in your 40s, shame sets in. But
I just was having a conversation with Wally and Corey on the Damn Sports Show. They went to a movie together, the two of them, and they ate out of the same container of popcorn.
No, that's weird.
Yeah, that's what I said.
That's weird.
I
your hand
it.
Touches.
Yeah.
And just
again, like, I'm just more of a, I would like my own popcorn.
Yes.
That's
right.
All.
Yes.
Like, those guys are a great duo, but. Eh.
I have a popcorn story that it was with a partner with ESPN, so I won't name the partner. But
advertising partner, not
yeah,
a partner.
Yeah, an advertising partner with ESPN. It was me, Greg Scalzo, and said partner. And the partner had gotten, like, the caramel, like, the green and cream-colored popcorn, caramel corn, at the Bucks game. Now, I'd like to point out that this game was, like, February pre-COVID. So, like, he has this, and he was going to offer me some. And I was like, no, I'm good. And then I saw him sneeze in his hand, dig his hand back in there, offer some to Scalzo's. I didn't say or bump Scalzo or anything. Scalzo ate some, and then he got sick.
God, you're so mad. You have to be top five worst friends ever.
But I didn't know how to tell him. Like, I'm in the middle between the advertising partner, me, and Scalzo. So, like, I couldn't really do much of anything.
That's
Scalzo
true.
Grabbed a handful. Scalzo's sick, and 2 weeks later, I think that was the start of COVID. I think I figured out where it started. It was at Pfizer Forum with
the cream and cream popcorn.
Yeah.
Patient zero.
Right, yeah.
Patient zero. Yeah. It's amazing gross. What you contribute when you listen.
Yes. When he's engaged, yeah. So, Jason, I have here in front of me ESPN, I don't know if it's Mel Kiper or whomever, kind of breaking down where quarterbacks could land.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't, which is surprising to me because the Packers have been a team that's been pretty – I think a lot of teams want to draft a quarterback every year or at least acquire one as an undrafted free agent. Packers been pretty upfront about that. This does not have the Packers acquiring any of the quarterbacks in this draft. Do you think they'll, at a bare minimum, acquire an undrafted free agent?
I think as much as Goody likes to say, we want to take a quarterback every year, he's got 8 picks right now. Now, I expect him to trade back to maybe get to double digits, get to 10.
Yeah.
So that might take a couple of trades to do it, but I don't see, and I don't want to say squandering. Squandering's the wrong word. But they took Michael Pratt last year, 7th-round guy out of Tulane. I think he ended up in Tampa. I don't know if he ended up sticking there or not. I kind of lost track of him. But let's look at what they have right now. They've not only got their clear-cut starter, who is facing a critical year, as we all agree, but they have a backup that while maybe the Tennessee Titans didn't realize what they had in him, the Packers certainly do now. Like, yes, in the first game against Indianapolis, he was a handing-off machine.
Yeah.
But he made some throws in that Tennessee game, and he made a big-time throw in that Jacksonville game that they came back. They wound up winning after the Jaguars had tied it up. So they know they've got their backup. He's under contract. And they still have Sean Clifford, a former draft pick of theirs, that they that,
That's
look,
crazy.
Is he ready to be an NFL starter? No. But I would challenge a lot of teams. Do they have a third stringer that is as adept as Sean Clifford? I mean, Sean Clifford is like 46 years old for how long he was at Penn State. But in all seriousness, he's experienced. He's not the typical first-year type player that you would have there. I would expect that they would sign an undrafted free agent. But no, unless there's somebody who should have gone in the 5th round and he's still there in the 7th, I don't expect them to draft a quarterback.
I want to follow up on that just because is Jordan Love, is he past the stage of maybe needing a vet in the room? Because that's the other way you could go. Now, Chicago, they have Tyson Bagent as their backup quarterback. They signed Case Keenum to basically be their third because they're like, look, no matter how much we have a former player, JT Barrett, as a quarterback coach on game day, he's not talking to Caleb. We don't have that guy. We want Case to be that guy. Jordan's now been a starter for 2 years. Obviously, it's a full year longer than Caleb, and he's been in the league 5 or 4 years longer than Caleb. Do you think the Packers are kind of moved past the idea of having a vet? Because that's not Malik Willis is not a vet either. I mean, he's been around for a while but not started a lot of games. Do you think they've moved past the idea of ever adding a vet to be a sounding board for Jordan?
I think they have, in part because their quarterback's coach is a former quarterback who played in the league for a long time, certainly as a backup. But whether or not the guy is there as a quarterback's coach or he's, you know, like Matt Hasselbeck toward the end of his career was doing that, like, I feel like that's not something that Goody values necessarily. So I don't think that they would go that direction either.
So Luke Musgrave and Tucker Kraft were both drafted in the 2023 draft together. Do you think there's any chance that the Packers double up on draft picks this year? And if so, what positions do you think they could go after or that they should go after?
Yeah, that's a really good question, Molly, because they have a track record of doing that, not just with tight ends. But as we know, in the 22 and 23 drafts, they drafted 3 wide receivers each in that as well. There's always the famous story of 1999 after Randy Moss comes into the league that Ron Wolf goes corner, corner, corner to start the draft, right? So, and just quickly back to the quarterback thing, this is another reason why they're going to stick with Sean Mannion as their quarterback's coach as opposed to drafting a young guy or bringing in a veteran because they need that roster spot and they need that draft pick. And it might be to double up on corner or to they need an offensive line depth charge. Like you can say, they signed Aaron Banks, but you know what happened last year when one piece came out,
yep,
the whole Jenga of their offensive line fell apart because they did not have somebody that could come in after four snaps and replace Elgton Jenkins and just be serviceable. So now you have to have questions because you're talking about they had Kadeem Telfert, they had Travis Glover, and then they had Jacob Monk, who was active in that game, and they didn't put him in either. And then on top of all that, then they lose Josh Myers late in the game, and they still don't put Jacob Monk in. So he was a fifth-round pick last year. Is he a different player this year? If he is, then you don't necessarily have to feel pressure to draft another offensive lineman. But if he isn't, now you're adding another one of those. And again, with only eight picks, two of them seventh-rounders, you know, they have a lot of needs. There are some more glaring than others where I wouldn't be surprised if they doubled up. I don't think they'll double up at tight end again, though.
The Jacob Monk thing is the ultimate what's up with that thing. Because, yeah. Seriously, I know that's like our running joke when you join our show.
No, that's perfect.
But I really feel that way because I feel like the only thing that we know about him is that the guy is allergic to cold water. That was the biggest story coming out of his him getting drafted last year. We know nothing about him. We've never seen him play. Like, there's nothing.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah, and again, I don't know why they went the direction they did after the injury because then they moved Sean Ryan to center, and I can't remember if they brought back Glover in or they brought somebody else in. I mean, it was
a mess.
It was a mess. That's the word for it, and it did make you wonder what's up with that when that occurred. So, you know, I don't know what Goody's plan is in terms of kind of a big picture of, oh, I want to get this number of players at this position, but again, corner, wide receiver, defensive line, offensive line. The beauty of that, for a team that was 11-6 and made the playoffs for the second straight year, that's a lot of needs. And so there's a chance that you don't necessarily have to go away from the best player available concept because he might match it because you have so many needs.
Right. So, Jason, as a guy who tends to cheer for the story over the team,
Is there a
first-round draft pick that you think the story would be the best?
Well, so not
for the Packers.
I know this is somewhat of the recency effect, but like the fact that Emeka Buka was in for a visit, and the fact that they have not drafted a wide receiver since 2002, which again, I know I'm kind of the old man on the panel, but like even for me. They've only drafted four wide receivers in the first round in my lifetime.
Two of them are Hall of Famers.
Two of them are Hall of Famers, James Lofton in 78, Sterling Sharp in 88. But the other two are obviously Javon Walker in 2002 when I was in my sixth or seventh year covering the team. And the other one is Barry Smith, who was drafted when I was a toddler. the tailgate tour bus is pulling up. So my point is that would be a heck of a story, right?
Right, yeah.
Now, the guy that I'm intrigued by, we talked about him with Mel Kiper, is Shamar Stewart.
the one with the highest RAS score.
I mean,
but like 1.5 sacks is a tire.
Right.
Yeah, but 9.99, Jim.
Right, and that
RAS is the line.
But that's what makes it so fascinating,
right?
You guys just crystallized it perfectly. Goody loves guys that are high RAS score guys. And for a guy 9.99 out of 10, he's the third highest. I was reading it from the Math Bomb or whatever he calls himself. Yeah. There's been 1,870 defensive linemen that he has done this for since 1987. And he's third.
Wow.
Yeah.
Third.
Well, because
but he has no production whatsoever.
Myles Garrett type athleticism with like no production. Like, he's a guy, he's popped up as a Bears. He's terrified. I don't want no part of him. Reminds me of Mike Mamulia.
Right.
For fans, what was he?
Gesundheit.
Boston College guy.
Yeah.
Boston College guy went to the draft, and, like, had an amazing combine. I don't know if they were doing the scores back then. But he didn't have the production in college. He got drafted by Philadelphia. I don't think he was a horrible pick, but nowhere close and a big miss overall.
Right. But he's the cautionary tale of drafting guys that measure and test well and don't have college production. It's a balancing act, but as we went through with Mel and Tausch and I talked about subsequently, you know, at what point does Goody look at that? Like, I think Eric Stokes was one of those guys. I think Rashawn Gary was definitely. Rashawn Gary's grade was 9.95.
Yeah.
But has his production matched that or his contract, quite frankly. Right.
Yep. So Pro Bowler Rashawn Gary?
That's how they refer to him
it's
up
Matt's
there.
Guy.
Yes, sir.
Matt's guy.
Matt's guy. Rashawn Gary cracks me up. But anyways.
Yeah. I've been so – ever since I started doing this show with Jim like 3 years ago, I've been so bullish on Rashawn Gary that it's been it's
he's
been
the last
funny.
One left. I want to ask you before we get to the draft because this –
except for Rashawn and his mom.
Right. There's not going to be a lot of moves most likely coming that are going to be significant before the draft year. So in the offseason, you know, if you're not getting better, you're getting worse and all that. In the NFC North, like Detroit lost two coordinators.
Yep.
The Vikings lost their starting quarterback. Chicago had the farthest to go. They might have, quote, unquote, won the offseason. But where do you think that – and the Packers, I don't really know what they've done. Like, I'm not asking for a prediction, but, like, who do you think had the best and worst offseason so far in the North?
Yeah, look, if we're counting both net minuses and pluses, I don't know how you don't look at how things have played out in Detroit and say, like, they lost Carlton Davis, but they signed DJ Reed. I mean, that's a push,
right?
If we're being honest, right? In fact, Carlton Davis got a better contract than DJ Reed got. Yeah. They actually saved money with him. So, and you lose those two coordinators. Maybe their new two guys are terrific. Maybe they are.
Yeah.
But maybe they have the same thing happen as Philly had after they lost their two coordinators to new jobs,
right,
to head coaching jobs. So I would say that the Packers have been the most level, right? I mean, changing quarterbacks, even if J.J. McCarthy is the 10th overall pick, there's risk involved. We saw Jordan Love in the first half of the 23 season. Is he going to play at that level for the Vikings? Is he going to play at the Jordan Love second half of the season level? Remember, the other part about J.J. McCarthy, he was on injured reserve all year. He didn't get to practice even.
Yeah.
So he's more of a redshirt rookie than he is a second-year player who got to practice with the team all season.
Yep.
So all those teams, I would just, you know, I know people like to give you a hard time. I would be leery of the Bears. So Wooly and Chrissy, mark this tape, and if I'm completely wrong, I join a legion of Bears fans who have thought things were changing.
Yep.
But if I'm right, they've solidified their offensive line. They have arguably the Mike Holmgren-type coach that everybody wanted, the offensive-minded guy, came from a successful program like Holmgren did in 92.
Yep.
They're the ones who had the farthest to go, but they're the ones who did the most.
Right.
Hey, I'm in your camp. This is my stance that I believe that Caleb Williams would be the best quarterback in the NFC North within the next 2 years. I've started buying like sports cards of Caleb Williams. Because
oh, you're putting your money where your mouth is.
I am. God. Hoping for a big return.
Put the kids through college.
Let's go. Exactly.
The one thing I feel confident with Ben Johnson coming in and everything is that we're going to find out if Caleb's a fraud or not.
Yeah.
Ben. So then they'll have to move on, but it seems like they might have the coach. Here's the thing that I'll tell you. Eberflus, 5-19 in one score games. So over the last few years, Chicago with an average coach would have been more of a problem for any team.
Right.
5-19, like, that is abysmal. That's the worst in, like, all of sports over his time in
like
one score games.
Music to my ears. I love it.
Yeah, well, Ben Johnson's had the top offense the 2 years in a row. So we'll have to see what he can do.
And it's hard for him to be worse.
Right. Yeah, it really is hard for them to be worse. The Packers are here. Jason, I'm sure you want to mingle and say hello. And we're trying to grab a few
guys all the time. I'd rather spend time with you. But you guys need this seat for a real guest.
Well,
yeah,
I'm happy to get up.
You are
absolutely.